I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest this week is Dr. Henning Salpa, who was born in 1964 in Germany and qualified from the University in Germany as an MD in 1994 and received a Doctorate of Medicine, DRMED, in 1995. In 2005, he opened Sweden's first complementary cancer clinic, the Arcadia Clinic, with hypothermia as one of the treatment options. In 2006, Arcadia Clinic moved to Germany, where it expanded into a residential clinic that incorporates all the classic treatments used in complementary cancer medicine, such as insulin potentiation therapy, local and whole body hypothermia, botanical psychostatic drugs and infusion, magnetic therapy, oxygen and ozone therapy, anti-cancer diet, detox, and orthomolecular medicine, meditation, yoga, and psycho-oncology. His focus for the last 25 years was on holistic, naturopathic, and complementary therapies for the ones who suffer from cancer. Dr. Salpa gives lectures in many European countries, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, the United Kingdom, and Germany, and was a speaker at the Annie Appleseed Conference in West Palm Beach in February of 2018. More information is available at www.arcadiaproxisclinic.de/en/about-us/the-arcadia-team.html. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Salpa, and I look forward to hearing about your views on cancer and cancer treatment. Now, first, you have worked with cancer patients for over 25 years. Can you tell us what you have decided cancer is?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Helvey, for contacting me, and I'm looking forward to having this interview with you. Yes, your question goes right to the center of our work in cancer treatment in oncology. What is cancer? Well, that's the question, and I let me try to summarize what I've learned, what I've came to understand the last 25 years, what cancer is. Let it put me this way. Cancer is a disease that occurs in the body that has an energy deficiency issue that allows cells that come into existence every day, a few cells. Imagine the body is made out of approximately 100 trillion cells. They all divide, they replicate, and they grow every day and replace the old cells that get damaged. And a few cells out of these 100 trillion cells happen to have a damage and behave like cancerous cells. That means that they grow without any control, and that they live in an immature form of metabolism, something I'd like to get back to a little later. So every human organism allows a few cancer cells to come into existence every day, and in a healthy individual, this is controlled by the complex self-healing system of the organism that is mostly represented of our immune system. So our immune cells, as long as we do not suffer from cancer as a disease, our immune cells have the power, the potential to identify these cancer cells. Scientists talk about a few thousand cancer cells that a human body produces every day. And as long as you stay healthy and do not develop the disease called cancer, the body controls these couple of thousand cancer cells that are produced every day, and you remain healthy And despite the fact that you produce cancer cells, you're not regarded as somebody having the disease. Mm-hmm. So what is cancer? Cancer, the disease, is when this ability to control the natural production of cancer cells every day, when this control system fails, and when these relatively few cells that our body produces every day grow to a number that forms a lump, and that causes symptoms, and that causes you or me to go to the doctor and ask, what is this lump? I felt this tenderness in my breast, or I have symptoms, pain, or difficulties to pass urine when it affects the prostate, or I have blood in my stool when it comes from a tumor in the lower intestines. And then at this moment, we call it a disease. At this moment, cancer has become a disease with a visible lump that causes symptoms like pain and bleeding and dysfunction of different kinds. And cancer is, as a disease, the phenomenon that the unwanted growth of cancer cells cannot be blocked by self-healing capacity of the organism.
Mm-hmm.
So let that be my first answer, and I would like to go into the details of what is the self-healing capacity of the organism and what promotes the growth of cancer cells and what limits the power and the capacity of our immune system to regulate our health every day so that we don't develop lumps out of the few cancer cells that our body produces.
Very good. I was hoping you would elaborate a little bit more as cancer, as energy, because I'm very interested in energy. I developed an energy theory about 40 years ago, and I use systems theory, but I related everything back to energy. The last focus was on a community, and I published this in books on public health nursing texts on individuals, and then I focused it on the community and applied it to a specific community and then used all the energy terms throughout. So I've been thinking lately that there should be some way to come up with a theory of cancer around the concept of energy. So I was hoping...
Well, I like this approach very much, and I can come from my experience and my side to elaborate a little bit on your theory, if you allow me. Sounds very interesting. Yes, I definitely see a point in that aspect, that cancer cells represent a life form that lives with very little energy and that has adapted to a surrounding that is poor in oxygen, poor in nutrients, and intoxicated, threatened by inflammatory signals, lack of nutrients, lack of water, lack of oxygen, and has found a way to survive despite this hostile terrain, where healthy cells that represent a higher level of cell function, even evolutionary, represent a higher form of differentiated life, where these cells cannot exist any longer, and switch off genes and metabolic pathways that would need all the energy that comes from proper food, oxygen, the micronutrients, the vitamins, the minerals. But when they are not there in the surrounding, the cell has to find a way to survive, and it goes back in time, in the time of evolution, and goes back to a life form that was the dominating life form approximately 3.5 billion years ago, when there was no oxygen in the atmosphere of our planet, and cells lived in an anaerobic metabolism, that is, a metabolism without oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what cancer cells do. They live in the absence of oxygen, and they live a simplified life, adapted to the terrain that is poor in energy. So if that is something that resonates with your energy theory, from my side, I would be, yes, cancer is a life form that is adapted to a lower level of energy, and it's the consequence of a loss of energy in the highly developed organism that needs this energy every day, every moment, to maintain its complex life form. But when that energy is not available, some of the cells decide to go back into the evolution of former times when there were only single cells, single cell life forms. And that is also a characteristic of cancer, that cancer cells don't have a social ability to form syncytia. That's the biological term for tissues that are connected and where the cells support each other. This ability to form a syncytia is not there any longer. Cancer cells behave like autistic single cells and do not act on each other or support each other in tissues. They form a chaotic pile of cells that multiply in a chaotic way, and every cell tries to survive in its own form and only for their only to survive as a single cell, not as a tissue or an organ or an organism. Mm-hmm. So yes, it represents a life form on a very low energy level.
That's great, and when I get to it, if I do, then I'll be back in touch, and maybe we can work together on something, because a lot of what you're saying rings a bell with me, and also I think that it would be good. So let's save that for later, and then I'd like to talk a little more about your clinics, and you have worked as a director of cancer clinic for many, many years in both Sweden and Germany. And I'd like to hear more about the clinic where you are currently, like how many patients you have. Is it residential or ambulatory? How long patients usually stay? What is your holistic programs? That type of information for the listeners.
Very well. So 12 years ago, I moved back from Sweden to my home country, Germany, and opened a complementary cancer clinic in the city of Kassel, which is right in the middle of Germany, between the cities of Hanover and Frankfurt, located in the heart of Germany. And the name of that clinic is Arcadia Clinic. Arcadia is a beautiful landscape that is mentioned in the myths of Greek mythology as a paradise-like landscape where one lives in the vicinity of the gods and where everything is present to live a happy and healthy life. So that name inspired me call my clinic Arcadia Clinic. And what we do here is we provide a holistic therapy program for patients suffering from chronic diseases, and our focus is on cancerous diseases, on all the different types of cancerous diseases that have so many common denominators that I explain in something that I call my vital field theory or the cancer field theory that explains how cancer comes into existence in a human body. And that is what we already talked about. The energy deficiency in a system allows both cancer cells to grow, cancer cells that live on a lower energy level, and these factors also weaken the body's ability to control cancer, weaken the immune system. So what we do is we turn the factors around that allowed cancer cells to grow in the organism into a biological terrain where the immune system is supported and the flow of life energy through the body, through the cells, is supported in a way that promotes the life of healthy cells and changes the terrain so that cancer cells do not find their surrounding where they thrive, but come back into a less and less aggressive and more healthy life cycle, life form again. This is what is called redifferentiation therapy. Redifferentiation means you do not kill the cancer cell, you change the terrain so that cancer cells can redifferentiate, go back the way of carcinogenesis to become less and less aggressive and more like healthy cells. This is the big goal, the aim of naturopathic medicine, to not focus on the sick cell, but to change the health factors of the biological organism around the cancer cells so that you create a terrain where healthy cells thrive and cancer cells behave more nicely and more healthily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because of the fact that many of our patients come in late stages, stage three, or most of the patients that come to our clinic are actually in a stage four, and most of our patients have gone through oncology treatments that leave their footprints in their bodies in terms of lowered immune system, anemia, intoxication problems, fatigue, and so on. We really need to work on both sides, on the side of naturopathic terrain therapy, where we work with supplements, with vitamins, with trace elements, with antioxidants, with botanical anti-cancer drugs in appropriate and powerful dosages that we achieve with IV infusions. Let me give you some examples for the drugs we use. We use turmeric in an IV injectable form, and that gives us approximately 10,000 times higher concentration in the blood of our patients compared to the oral intake of an oral turmeric capsule. And of course, the effect of an infusion is much bigger than from an orally ingested capsule of turmeric. We do the same with catechins from green tea extract. Catechins in green tea are famous for their anti-cancer properties. They block the vessel growth around tumor cells. They stimulate the apoptosis, the natural cell death in cancer cells. But the dosages you get from a cup of green tea a day, or even if you drink 5 cups of green tea a day, mm-hmm. is not enough, is not powerful enough to reverse an existing cancer. It's a great beverage, a healthy beverage, to prevent cancer, but when cancer has become a fact, has manifested in your body as a disease, green tea as an oral supplement is not enough, it's not powerful enough, because the uptake in the bloodstream, the bioavailability is not that great. So we have injectable catechins. We have the star among the catechins, the so-called epigallocatechingolate, which is the most powerful catechin you find in green tea. And we have a compound pharmacy in the vicinity of our clinic that provides us with all these injectable botanical anti-cancer drugs. And so we can administer these anti-cancer molecules from natural sources in an IV injection, an IV infusion.
Hmm.
We use, of course, high dosages of vitamin C as an injection. Vitamin C is maybe one of the most famous complementary, alternative, non-toxic anti-cancer drugs that has recently also entered the world of academic medicine. The University of Kansas has it on their website that they provide their cancer patients parallel to standard chemotherapy with high dosages of vitamin C. So, of course, we have vitamin C in our protocols too. And we combine non-toxic, natural anti-cancer drugs with physical methods that amplify the effect. And the most important tool in that category is hyperthermia. Hyperthermia means overheating. So it is known since more than 100 years that cancer cells are vulnerable for heat attack, and that the combination of heat and a parallel given infusion makes a very good synergy effect, that you can amplify the effect of a vitamin C infusion or turmeric infusion if you give it in an overheated organism, an organism that has fever, or in the form of local hyperthermia, if you give the injection or the infusion parallel to a local overheating of the area that is affected by cancer. Typically, a liver metastasis can be treated quite effectively if you do an overheating with radio waves, local hyperthermia on the liver. We reach temperatures that are in the realm of 43, 44 centigrade, that is maybe 115 Fahrenheit, which is a temperature where cancer cells get problems. And if you where healthy cells still have the conditions they need for their healthy cell metabolism, cancer cells are more fragile and more vulnerable for high temperatures. And if you combine the overheating, the hyperthermia, with an anti-cancer drug, you get the best effect. You get a synergy effect of the both strategies that that you use simultaneously. So this is something that is very central in the treatment at Arcadia Clinic. Naturopathic infusions together with hyperthermia, either local hyperthermia with a radio wave device or typically once a week, whole body hyperthermia, where you expose the entire body to infrared energy and create, under controlled circumstances, a core body temperature of around 105, 106 Fahrenheit, which is the temperature of an organism that defends viruses, like from an influenza infection, and exactly the same temperature has shown to be very effective in the defense of cancer cells. So whole body hyperthermia, so-called moderate range, fever range hyperthermia once a week, together with an infusion, high dosage vitamin C, turmeric, green tea extract, DCA is another candidate of a powerful organic molecule that can slow down cancer growth, and oxygen. Oxygen is something we use frequently and regularly parallel to the hyperthermia treatments, that the patient inhales 100% pure oxygen, which is another component of our holistic treatment approach.
You also use insulin. Don't you use also insulin potentiation therapy?
Yes, I wanted to get there. Thank you. You picked the word before I mentioned it. IPT is another very powerful tool where we lower the blood sugar with insulin to a level where cancer cells go into an energy crisis, because cancer cells are highly dependent on sugar, on glucose as their main energy molecule. And if we lower the blood sugar from a normal, let's say 100 milligram per deciliter, down to a little bit below 50, something that takes between half an hour and can take up to an hour or a little longer, depending on individual factors. When we have lowered the blood sugar to that level, around 50, 45, we inject a combination, a mixture of a low-dose chemotherapy drug together with a high-concentration glucose solution. So we feed the cancer cells when they are the most hungry, the most open with their glucose channels for and waiting for sugar, because sugar has become so low in their surrounding. In that very moment, we feed them literally with poison sugar. And we do that with both botanical, naturopathic, anti-cancer drugs. Artesunate is a good example for a botanical anti-cancer drug. It's a molecule from Chinese wormwood that is also used in the treatment of malaria. And that was found to be a powerful anti-cancer drug in the year 2005, actually by a professor at Washington State University, Professor Li, who was, to my knowledge, the first to publish that Artemisia extract from Chinese wormwood is a very powerful anti-cancer drug, not only effective against parasites and malaria, but also against tumor cells, cancer cells. And artesunate together with IPT is a very good combination. Or we do IPT with low dosages of regular chemotherapy. And that's the only type of regular chemotherapy that we treat with. We use 10 to 15% of the dosages that are recommended in standard oncology protocols together with insulin, and see very good results without any mentionable side effects. The side effects from IPT, insulin potentiation therapy, is the symptoms of low blood sugar for, let's say, 15 minutes. That's almost nothing compared to the side effects that are normal in regular oncology. And the results are really good. And another advantage is that the effect of chemotherapy doesn't wear out so fast compared to standard chemotherapy. We have the impression that the mutations that are caused by standard chemotherapy dosages, which is one of the big problems of standard chemotherapy. You never kill all the cells with a chemotherapy regimen. You lower the amount of cancer cells down to maybe 10%, 5%, or if you are very lucky, 1 or 2% surviving cells. But those surviving cells have learned how to react and how to become resistant against the weapons you use to kill them, and they create the new problem, the resistant next generation of tumor cells, the mutated tumor cells. And doctors who use IPT have the impression that this mutation doesn't happen so fast compared to the regular standard protocol. So I see a lot of advantages by using IPT instead of regular dosage chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned magnetic therapy. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, very well. Magnetic therapy was developed as a therapy to enhance the blood flow in capillaries. Capillaries are the tiny little hair-thin blood vessels in the periphery of the bloodstream in an organ or in the periphery of our body, underneath the skin, and literally in every organ that we have. And the devices that are used work with electromagnetic frequencies in the range of 100, 200 hertz, which is a low frequency compared to the devices that we use today in mobile phones or indoor phones or high electricity fields that are around us and that maybe not are so good to our biology and not comparable with the biology of ourselves. So these magnetic devices use very low frequencies, 200 or even lower, 200 hertz, with a magnetic field power of something between 200 and 300 microtesla. That's the unit for magnetic field power. And with these energies, we charge the body cells and the electricity of the membranes of our body cells in a way that you can compare with a battery charger for your electric toothbrush or your shaver by induction. You lay down on a mattress with your body on this mattress. In the mattress, you have the copper wires that are like antennas to send out the electromagnetic impulses. And through induction, the energy is transported into the body cells' electricity and literally charge the body cells like a battery. Every living cell on this planet, from plant cells up to the highly complex cells of a human body, are electrically charged as long as the organism lives. Today, the charge goes down to lower than 10 or close to zero, the cell dies and the organism dies. So life on this planet is based on electromagnetism. There is no life on this planet without an electromagnetic field. And many decades ago, basic oncology research found out that cancer cells live with a lower membrane potential. As I already said, cancer cells are adapted to a low-energy environment and found a way to survive in it. And healthy cells need a membrane potential of around minus 90 to minus 110 millivolt as the electric charge on their membrane. And the lower the membrane potential is, the lower the general vitality of that cell is. And that is true for the immune cells and for the red blood cells that need to transport oxygen and carbon dioxide around our body. And with electromagnetic pulse therapy, you can charge the membranes of red blood cells and expect better oxygen supply for the entire body. You can charge the membranes of white blood cells and expect a better immune function. And that is something you can show with a dark field microscope. I do it every day. I show my patients how their blood cells look like on a big screen connected to my microscope. I look at living blood cells without any stain, called lifeblood analysis. And I would say 99 out of 100 patients who come to me first day suffering with a cancerous from a cancerous disease have sticky blood cells. The red blood cells stick together and the white blood cells don't move. They look lazy. They are smaller than healthy cells, contracted, and they don't show any cellular movement. Now you put the patient on an electromagnetic field therapy device on a mattress and expose the body to these totally harmless electromagnetic pulses for 20-25 minutes, and you look at the blood cells again, and again, I would say 19 of 20 or 99 of 100 patients, you see already after one treatment that the electric charge of the cells is much better, that the cells repulse each other. And instead of sticking together, you see single cells moving around vividly, and you can even see a change in the behavior of white blood cells, that this electric charge revitalized the basic cell functions of the blood cells, something I've seen more than 1,000 times. I've done it now for 15 years, so it's something I can show every patient who comes to me. And in this understanding of cancer as an energy deficiency problem, I add pulsed electromagnetic frequency therapy as an energy therapy that makes so many basic functions better, from oxygenation to basic immune vitalization to better flow of molecules through the charged membrane into the cells, so better cell nutrition and better detoxification in order to absorb nutrients and in order to absorb to excrete toxins, you need to have a charged membrane. The cell needs to have a charged membrane, otherwise no molecules pass the membrane. So PEMF, pulse electromagnetic frequency therapy, is a very basic therapy that improves the life functions of all our cells. And to me, it's a must do. It's a very basic vital therapy that all my patients get that come to our clinic. We have 5 devices so that patients can use them regularly. My recommendation is twice a day, and I can show them on the microscope screen what the effect of it is.
Is this like the Beamer?
Yes, that's a brand name. Beamer is a brand name. There are different products on the market. We use a machine that is manufactured in Bavaria in Germany called Sansa. The Beamer is another. It's another brand name. The general name for all these devices is PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic frequency therapy. And there are different devices on the market. Some are more powerful to treat pain. Some are milder to improve microcirculation. To me, the general effect to improve microcirculation and as a consequence of that, better nutrition of the cells, better detoxification, better metabolic turnover is the most important aspect of PEMF treatment. And yes, there are different products on the market.
Now, someone told me about mistletoe years ago. Is that used at all in Germany now? Or
of course. It's maybe the most famous naturopathic adjuvant treatment that I heard the number of 30% of all German cancer patients get from their general practitioner or house doctor. And of course, we have incorporated mistletoe therapy in our protocols. It's very well documented with more than 100 studies that mistletoe extract that needs to be injected. Oral forms don't work. They get destroyed in the acidity of the stomach, so you need to inject it subcutaneously. That the injection of mistletoe extract has a immune-stimulating effect. You can measure the activity with interleukins or with fractions of your white blood cells, like the eosinophilic cells and the lymphocytes go up after, let's say, a month or two of treatment of mistletoe injections. And many studies are done that show that the quality of life and that the side effects of standard oncology treatments can be improved dramatically if patients get mistletoe injections. And there are a few studies that even show a measurable statistical survival benefit. There was a study done in the Slovakian Republic, published in the German Doctors Periodical a couple of years ago, with patients suffering from pancreatic cancer. And I was in stage 4 when there was not so much to offer these patients, and they got either a mixture of vitamins or mistletoe treatment. In a randomized study And the mistletoe group showed a significant longer overall survival time.
Wow.
I find it extraordinary because the type of cancer that was picked, metastasized stage 4 pancreatic cancer, is not the easiest one.
No.
It's a very difficult type of cancer. And that mistletoe therapy showed a significant measurable benefit for overall survival time in this difficult situation. Says quite something about the power of mistletoe treatment.
Mm-hmm. Now, I use Laetril. Do you use that at all?
I have used it, and it is not my first priority any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult topic. I know the story of Dr. Ernst Krape and the book that was published about it, World Without Cancer, and I wished I had seen the results that were mentioned in the book. I believe that many factors are responsible for the fact that we today don't see the results that probably were observed in the 70s or 80s when Laetril was used in first in the United States and then in Mexican clinics. I talked with many pharmacologists, or at least a couple of pharmacologists in Germany, who manufacture injectable amygdalin, as we call it here. Laetril was the American name of a slightly changed amygdalin molecule. And I started with dosages around 1 gram, 2 gram, 3 gram per injection. And because of the fact that I didn't see a great response, I went up with the dosage, and the last dosages I used were actually 12 gram of pure amygdalin per infusion, and I did it daily up to 3 weeks in a row, but the results I saw didn't encourage me to continue with it. So today I prefer artesanate, Chinese wormwood extract, or turmeric, or green tea, and a good workhorse is still high dosage vitamin C that I combine with all the other drugs. The combination of artesanate and vitamin C high dosage is, in my experience, the better choice, and that's why I don't use amygdalin or Laetril that often nowadays.
I think that with me, it was a total protocol that was responsible for my overcoming cancer. It wasn't just the Laetril, but the doctor I had, who was very progressive, who also had his license taken away about 5 years after he treated me.
Oh, really?
It was, he did things like high dose vitamin A. I started at 200,000, then went to 100,000, then 50,000 for a year. And he told me, I said to him, well, I don't like taking such high doses of fat soluble vitamins because they're stored. He said,
it's a little dangerous for the liver. The high dosages of vitamin A is a little toxic to the liver.
But what he told me was that it would prevent normal cells from converting to cancer cells. Well, about 5 years ago, the research came out that he had told me this back in 74, and the research showed they used type of vitamin A on breast cancer cells, normal cells, and precancer cells. Did nothing to the breast cancer cells, nothing to the normal cells, but it reverted the precancer cells back to normal. So that was just...
That is very interesting.
That was one other part of his whole protocol. And then I added things like prayer, meditation, visualization, optimism, helping others. I think that some of the mental, spiritual interventions, and I see you do yoga and meditation, which is great. I think these things are sometimes almost as important as anything that you do physically.
I totally agree. And the turning point in my life about this psycho-emotional mental aspect in cancerous diseases was my meetings with Dr. Carl Simonton, who became famous through his book, what's the English title?
I don't remember.
Getting Well Again. So once again, my meeting with Dr. Carl Simonton, a radio oncologist from Los Angeles who became world famous through his book Getting Well Again that he published in 1978 for the first time. And by publishing it, he became the pioneer of the discipline that we call psycho-oncology today. Mm-hmm. So I had the great pleasure and honor to meet with Carl Simonton many times in Germany and became a student of his in the year 2000, 2001, 2002, and learned from Carl how important it is to address the emotional and the mental mm-hmm. well-being mm-hmm. of patients who live with cancerous diseases, and that it can make a huge difference if you change your mindset and work with, as you said, optimism, mm-hmm. a positive view on your life, work with a health plan, get your vision back, what you want to do in your life, and become more decided with the reasons for living.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 30 years, 40 years later, 40 years after Getting Well Again was published for the first time, we got the brilliant book by Kelly Turner, Radical Remission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Kelly Turner interviewed 1,500 patients who told her about their unexpected remissions from late-stage cancerous diseases, and that's what Kelly Turner calls radical remission, an unexpected remission of a late-stage cancer situation. And she summarized the interviews in her book, Radical Remission, and found 9 common denominators that the patients told her about. And 2 of these 9 factors were biological factors,
mm-hmm.
as changing your diet, like avoiding sugar and dairy products and cut down the meat and eat more green and salads and smoothies and healthy food. The second factor was to incorporate natural supplements, vitamins, minerals, and plant-based anti-cancer drugs such as enzymes, turmeric, green mm-hmm. tea extract, etc. Mm-hmm. And the other 7 factors were psychomental, emotional factors. 7 of 9 factors that Dr. Kelly Turner found and published in her book Radical Remission were not biological factors, were psycho-emotional, spiritual, mental factors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I recommend every patient who comes here gets a copy of Kelly Turner's book, and I encourage my patients to work that book through, and we do it in group conversations during the week. And the last chapter, chapter 9, the 9th factor is having strong reasons for living.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
is really something that changes the mindset of many of my patients that they experienced during their stay here, that life wasn't that easy before they attracted a cancerous disease, and that there were some reasons why their body became weak and why their immune system became weak, and that they can change the factors in their life that mm-hmm. make them weak.
Mm-hmm.
And this psycho-oncological work is very, very important here at Arcadia Clinic. I would say it's 50% of the work we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you about another area, and that is marijuana or cannabis oil.
Yep.
Have you considered yep. that or looked at that at all?
Yes, I did, of course. So CBD, cannabidiol, which is a nutrient in Germany, you can buy it without a prescription mm-hmm. in a health food store,
mm-hmm.
is something that many of my patients use.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I recommend it actively, or patients have already found it themselves before they came to Arcadia. And I regard CBD oil as one of many positive
mm-hmm.
Food supplements with
mm-hmm.
Many effects like relaxation, positive mood change, probably some factors that improve the immune function. Difficult to measure because we do so many things at the same time. So
right.
if you integrate
mm-hmm.
a 10th, an 11th, a 12th supplement, it's always very difficult to say what it does because nobody takes only CBD oil. So
right,
allow
right.
me to say it's not so easy for me to find out what
mm-hmm.
it does. But
mm-hmm.
from what I read, I have the impression that it helps your life to deal with cancer and that it adds positive aspects to the treatment. Then THC is a component of cannabis that is a prescription drug in Germany. Since 4 years back in time, it's now allowed for medical doctors in Germany to prescribe THC on a prescription, and the pharmacies have standardized THC extract called dronabinol. And I use THC for patients who suffer from pain, cramps, gastrointestinal cramps, from loss of appetite, from milder forms of depression or sleeplessness. And yes, THC is a positive drug with a side effect profile that is so much better than the profile of synthetic drugs that I welcome. THC as something that controls the symptoms of late stage cancer, and I can prescribe it on a prescription. If your question is whether or not THC is an anti-cancer drug, whether we should expect from THC that cancer cells go into remission, my answer is, I don't know. I have not seen it yet. I'm a little wondering if that is what we can expect from THC. I know that there are a few stories around where people tell their friends or write articles about their remission from THC, but I've not seen it. And from what I've seen in the literature that is published about THC, I do not expect the tremendous effect of THC as a direct anti-cancer drug. I regard it more as something that helps me to control the symptoms of late-stage cancer.
I interviewed Dr. Eidelman in Los Angeles about a month ago, and he writes the letters of recommendation for marijuana in California for cancer patients. And he said that you have to take at least 50% THC, that you have to take gram a day up to a total of 60 grams for cancer cures. And he had some case studies. And he also said that some people that had taken it and the cancer was in remission, but they stopped and then it came back. So it wasn't conclusive, but a lot of people, as you say, use it as part of the of their protocols. So I wanted to ask about it. The other thing I wanted to ask...
Well, so many grams a day is...
I think
your life that is very different. You are affected by THS, THC, sorry. And it's difficult to conduct a normal life with those dosages of THC. You're stoned 24/7 if you take.
I asked him that question, and he said yes. And I said, you know, I just couldn't deal with that.
No, and I had patients who tried it, and unfortunately, they could not stop the progression of their disease, despite they followed the, let's call it, the Rick Simpson's protocol, and they were literally stoned all day long, and the cancer grew. So it's still unclear for me in what cases it may contribute to a remission, and why, I don't know. But in the cases that I followed, even high dosages of THC did not change the progression of the disease.
Now, another question. A few doctors that I know of in this country use the chemosensitivity testing. Do you do that or not? Because I know Germany
I don't do it, and I don't do it any longer, and I wait for more clarity and maybe better tests that we hopefully see in the future to get better results. The laboratories that I used in the past years all do something with the cells in the laboratory that change the phenotype of the cells, that is the biological behavior of the cells, in a way that I believe makes the test not significant any longer. Mm-hmm. I talked to independent biologists, cytologists who did research at German universities with circulating tumor cells. And what they told me was that if you take out a blood specimen with a number of CTCs of circulating tumor cells and you send the specimen away to a laboratory in another country, and that takes 3 to 4 days, and then the laboratory filters the CTCs out and puts them into cultivation petri dishes to expand the cells to a number of many hundred thousands, because you don't get so many from a blood tube. You get many, maybe 50 or at the highest, maybe 100 CTCs from a specimen of 10 milliliters. So nobody can do the research with 100, the testing with 100 CTCs. You need to expand them. You need to grow them in colonies to a number of many millions. And in that procedure of growing a few cells to a number of many million cells, the cells mutate. They adapt to the conditions of the laboratory, and that changes their biological characteristics, their phenotype, as the biologist says. And then you do the testing, and what you get is the result of a cell that is the great, 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 great son of the original cell from the patient, that, let's say, the sixth or the eighth generation, because cancer cells multiply so fast, you get the eighth generation already after mm-hmm. a week. Mm-hmm. And then you do the testing with the eighth generation of the cells that you want to know how they are. But in these, in the laboratory, the during the cultivation of the cells, you cause a lot of mutations. And what you measure is not the same reality as the reality in the patient. So you measure something that may be totally different from the behavior of the cells in the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So when I understood that, I questioned the results. And in 2012 and 2013, I used these chemosensitivity tests frequently for a number of, let's say, 100 patients.
Mm-hmm.
And I treated according to those, and I didn't see a significant change or a measurable change in my success rate by following the result of these chemosensitivity tests. So I went back to what I did before, which is the treatment based on the experience that I have on the patient's history, and to find the right combination of drugs and potentize them with insulin or hyperthermia.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, right? Yeah. Then I have a couple other questions, and then I think I'll let you take it easy. You required to offer chemo, radiation, and surgery before offering alternative treatments in Germany. That's the way it is in the United States.
No, I am not.
Good.
German law tells me to inform the patients that this or that is the standard of care. But after a information, I'm free to treat the patient with what the patient wants to be treated with, as long as I can take responsibility for the side effects. And that is what I do. So I inform patients, and then the patient says, but I don't want to be treated with high dosage standard chemotherapy or radiation. And when that is clear, I'm free to treat the patient with what we offer, naturopathic treatments and non-toxic treatments and heat therapy instead of standard radiation and so on.
My other question then, Dr. Selpa, is I know you have national health insurance. Are these treatments covered or does the patient have to pay?
In most cases, the patient has to pay out of his or her pocket for the treatments that we offer. The landscape changed a little bit the last 10 years in Germany. We have different insurances in Germany, and some insurances paid for complementary naturopathic treatments or hyperthermia until, I would say, the year 2012, 2013. And from that on, with every year, it became more and more difficult to get a compensation through German health insurances
mm-hmm.
because there is a society for German health insurances where they define their standards. And some 5 years ago, they changed their attitude towards complementary cancer treatments and stated that they are not any longer willing to pay for methods that they call for experimental or non-standard or out of the box. So unfortunately, most of our patients need mm-hmm. to pay mm-hmm. for their treatments out of their pocket. There are still exceptions. We still see in single cases insurances that say, oh, because there's no official treatment available any longer, and they allow their patient on an exception decision to get a reimbursement for the treatments, but it's not the standard any longer, unfortunately not.
So we've got a lot of work yet to do, even with the political system, right?
For sure. Because all the money goes to the new drugs, and the
yeah.
new drugs get more and more expensive. The most
yeah.
expensive drug now has just been released on the American market, a drug that is used to treat leukemia at the price of $475,000 for one bottle.
Wow.
Kimeira is the drug's name. A new kind of drug, so-called chimeric antibody, a structure that is put outside of the cell membrane that
mm-hmm.
works as an artificial antibody to send alarm signals to the immune system to attack it. Great idea, and I keep my fingers crossed that this is the breakthrough in the treatment
mm-hmm.
of difficult-to-treat leukemias, but the price tag is astronomical.
Right.
Four treatments are needed to give the treatment a chance to show its effect. So we're up to $2 million. Only drug costs per treatment series. I wonder how our societies will finance that in the future.
Right. And sometimes it's not as effective as something much more reasonable. My neighbor
yep.
had colitis. And she was taking a medication that was $1,200 a month. And I said to her, well, anytime I have any problem with the GI tract, I drink aloe vera and take probiotics. And she said, what's
excellent. I would do the same.
She said, what's that? And I told her, well, every time I see her, she thanks me. She said, you know, I used to have 6 or 8 episodes a day. She said, now I might have one every 6 months. Aloe vera is
yeah.
what, $10 or $12 a bottle? And so she's paying maybe $20 for what used to cost $1,200, and it's more effective.
Yeah. But cheap drugs have no chance to be accepted as standard treatments, and nobody invests money in cheap drugs.
No.
A good example
mm-hmm.
is metformin.
Mm-hmm.
Metformin is the standard drug for diabetes type 2. And it is extremely cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I just prescribed it. 180 tablets cost $15. That's what you need for 2 to 3 months of treatment as an adjuvant treatment for cancer patients. And there are plenty of studies published that metformin has anti-cancer properties. And if you use it in the right dosage, you don't have any mentionable side effects. So
mm-hmm.
for $15 a package, you can add metformin in your protocol when you suffer from metastasized cancer and expect a good effect from it. It's published in mainstream oncology magazines, but nobody is interested to lift it up to the standard of care because there's no money in it.
Right. Well, Dr. Shalpa, this has been fantastic. And if you will tell us about your services, which we have been discussing, and also if you have products, if you have books, and how the listeners can reach you.
Yeah. Well, we can be reached by email or telephone. Arcadia Praxis Clinic is the German name of our facility. If you just Google for Arcadia, Praxis Clinic in Germany, or my name, Dr. Salpe. You find me on internet and our website, and you're welcome to send me an email. And we get back to you with a questionnaire and invite you to a Skype consultation or telephone-based consultation where we together find out whether we are the right place for you and your treatments. Please send us your medical reports and your latest CT scan and blood work that helps us to find out whether or not we are the right choice for you. Our facility takes care of up to 10 patients at the time, so it's a private-run clinic located in the middle of Germany, outside the city of Kassel, in a park, in a curative village that is called Bad Emstal. Bad means bath in Germany because we have a natural hot spring next to our clinic. It's peaceful and countryside atmosphere around us with meadows and woods and no industry and very clean air and clear and pure water. So we have up to 10 guests here at our clinic. We are two doctors at the moment, nurses, physiotherapists, massage therapists, and patients normally come to our clinic for a period of 3 weeks. Some stay a little longer. It depends on the intensity they need to turn around their disease. It's a privately run clinic. It doesn't look like a hospital. It maybe looks more like a health resort or a hotel. Patients live at Arcadia Clinic. We're not a hospital. We are a day clinic with a patient hotel in the same building. Of course, we have our own restaurant where we provide our guests with a healthy diet. The Arcadia diet is low-carb, sugar-free, cow's milk-free, gluten-free, fresh food, salad bars, smoothies, nuts and grains and coconut fat and linseed oil and all the healthy ingredients that belong to a healthy anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer diet. We include fish and poultry for the ones who want to eat animal-based proteins, which I personally recommend, but of course we respect the wishes of vegetarian patients and provide vegetarian dishes as well. We do a lot of tests at our clinic. We do blood tests, lifeblood analysis, standard tests, tumor markers. We do a toxic load test where we look at toxins in the subcutaneous tissue with a laser-based photometer. That gives us an idea about the toxic load. Heavy metals and other toxins can be detected. And then we adapt the detox program to the laboratory results. We check vitamin D levels, selenium, iron, magnesium, phosphate, blood proteins. We do a stool analysis, very important. We do a comprehensive microbiome analysis. The microbiome, that's the new word for our gut flora. And the gut flora is very important for our health. Our immune system is connected to the quality of our microbiome, and a good microbiome provides our immune system with the right chemicals that help the immune system to be effective. We check for leaky gut. Leaky gut is very common nowadays. It means that the gut walls are wide open and allow chemicals and even germs and undigested food products to penetrate the gut wall and end up directly in the bloodstream, and that causes inflammation and allergy problems. So we check for leaky gut and treat accordingly the laboratory result with probiotics, with supplements that are focused on the results, anti-inflammatory gut healing, like different kinds of prebiotics or probiotics, fermented products with lactobacilli and all the healthy bacteria that we need in our gut flora. We check thyroid function. We do a comprehensive, in-depth testing with laboratory-based checkups and tests. We are connected to radiology clinics in the surrounding, so in case a patient needs a CT scan or MRI or even PET scan, we can arrange that through the radiology clinics that are around in the vicinity of Arcadia. And we treat from Monday to Friday with infusions, hyperthermia, counseling, oral supplements, pulse electromagnetic frequency therapy, laser-based therapy, insulin potentiation therapy. All these different therapy modalities can be looked at through our website. There are a few videos posted on our website. Arcadia-cancer-treatment.com is the American website. And at the end of our stay, of the patient's stay, we plan a home care package where patients are recommended to take some of the supplements back home to their hometown. They can even order injectable drugs if they have somebody at their home that is ready to use the drugs that we used here. We have a growing network of doctors around the globe that are in contact with us, that like to cooperate with us and continue with the infusions in the home environment of the patients when they're back home. And we do follow-ups by Skype or telephone to evaluate the result of the treatments. And that is mostly done with CT scans, MRI scans, or laboratory checkups at home, because it normally takes 4 weeks, 6 weeks after the treatments here to show what the treatments have done. So it is not possible to evaluate at the end of the stay, because the body needs a few more weeks to process the treatments that are given here. And the best way to evaluate is 3 to 6 weeks, 4 to 8 weeks after the patient has left our practice, our clinic, and then we do a telephone or Skype-based follow-up and plan the next step.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Dr. Selfa. It's been very complete, very informative, and it means a lot to me that you agreed to talk with me today.
Thank you, Dr. Halley. It was a great pleasure to talk with you, and I'm looking forward to learn more from you about your energy, energy understanding of cancer cells. So please provide me with some information about that. I'm very excited and curious to read more about that.
Great. Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.